You're on White Noise here on Joy 94.9. And Kez, we've spoken to a lot of cool bands this year since we started doing interviews on this show.
Yep.
But I don't think I've ever been this excited to speak to an artist. This band, they were there at the birth of punk rock. They've gone on to become one of the most iconic and sought-after bands in the world. They've been covered by Guns N' Roses, My Chemical Romance, Metallica, and they love all things horror movies, aliens, and B-grade movies. They could only be the Misfits, and it could only be Jerry Only on the phone. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, well, thank you so much. You make it sound pretty good out there.
We know that the Misfits, they take their name from Marilyn Monroe's last film of the same name. What made you guys decide that the final work of the world's greatest sex symbol would be appropriate for a bunch of scary-looking punk rockers?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that when we chose the name of the band, it was more, not only that had Marilyn Monroe, but it also had the way that we were kind of viewing the way we would be fitting into. You know, the scene that we jumped into back in '77 was a rebirth of music in New York City. I mean, the Ramones had come down the pipe, Talking Heads, Blondie. Bands like this were, you know, all friends of ours that we were playing with at the time. And it just seemed to me that even though we were in this new wave of stuff that was coming down, we just really didn't have the same attitude or the same, you know, outlook as the rest of these bands. We really didn't even fit in even with the Outcast bands that were there at the time. So that's how the name really found, it kind of found us.
For those very few people who are unfamiliar with the Misfits, how would you define yourselves in your music?
Oh, well, the thing is, you know, people put us in different categories. They say, oh, you guys are horror punk, or you guys are a punk band, or, you know, in a lot of ways, we transcend a lot of these different things. I mean, we have ballads that are really strong. I mean, we've written songs for Mars Attacks. We've written songs for Wes Craven, for Scream. We've done a lot of different things. And we do ballads. We have rockabilly songs, American Nightmare, which is one of my favorite songs in the band. We did in one take in the studio, never had played it before. And it's like a rockabilly classic. And we've done that. And in 1983, we did an album called Earth AD. Now, Earth AD has on it Die Die My Darling and Green Hell, which are both covered by Metallica. And it basically became the speed metal Bible for all the bands that followed in the 80s, Anthrax, Slayer, Megadeth, Metallica. The list goes on and on. But basically, we saw what the skinhead bands and the hardcore bands out of New York and Detroit were doing. And even though we didn't create that kind of thrash music, we took it to another level by making it kind of melodic and turning it into something that could be accessible to the masses. And that was the one thing that, you know, a lot of the hardcore bands lacked, was connection to make it something like a song like Die Die My Darling be something that would be played by the big four at the end of the night. So, you know, I'm very proud of what we've done with the band.
So the Misfits have seen a fair amount of musicians come and go with something like 15 former members. Is this current lineup here to stay?
Well, this current lineup is actually the longest 10-year lineup I've ever had. Basically, I've been we really don't have a singer. People say, oh, well, what are you doing in the band? I never say, well, I'm the lead singer. I always just say, you know, I play bass. And I want to keep it that way. I think that, you know, we're not trying to have any standouts here. We're trying to work this as a unit. And so what happens is that with Dez Cadena, I've known Dez almost 35 years now. Dez was the lead singer of Black Flag before Henry Rollins became the singer. And Dez switched to guitar. Now, Dez is a generation musician. His dad had a jazz label, and his mom still runs it today out in California. So Dez grew up with, jazz and blues and stuff like that. So, I mean, Dez is one of those guys who can guitar and play anything you throw at him. And then the drummer that we're dealing with, Dez has been in almost 10, 11 years already. And the drummer had worked with us many times before. He had filled in for Robo or for Marky Ramone when those guys weren't able to go, and he actually was, we had a problem with the lineup on the second record that wound up actually putting on the road, and we had to continue the tour without a drummer or a singer. Mm-hmm. So he stepped up to the plate, and I stepped up to the plate, and we both wound up pulling off the tour, finishing the run, and then I wanted to work with him. The people that I was dealing with, you know, from my management standpoint, they were always like, hey, not for anything, but, you know, you should try and keep, you know, Robo in. He's an original member, and you should try and keep Marky in because he's a legend. And in the meantime, you know, the Chupacabra here, the goat, is, you know, like my guy. He's a machine. He works in jiu-jitsu with Renzo Gracie out of New York, and Gracie's probably, like, the best jiu-jitsu people in the world. And, you know, he keeps the, my son works with us and my nephew's on the stage. So he keeps the kids in line. He teaches them all kinds of healthy things, you know, jiu-jitsu and eating right. And he won't eat any fried food. And he plays double bass drum, amazing. And he's a powerful little animal. And the thing is that that's what the band really needs, somebody who's got the groove but also has the ability to bang out the other stuff as well. So you're going to really like our set, you see. It's a lot. A lot of thrashy, hardcore stuff at the end. We end in a finale of fire, I call it.
Oh, that sounds nice. Yeah. Now, Jerry, yeah. Talking about the members and the previous members, it's hard to talk about the Misfits without mentioning Glenn Danzig. You guys, you had a bit of a long-winded legal battle over the band. What made you decide that you wanted to fight for the right to perform as the Misfits?
Well, I kind of decided that, the day Glenn left the band, it's just that I didn't realize the amount of red tape that I would be getting myself into. And the amount of legal trial and error things that I would have to learn. So the thing is, like with Glenn, I got to be honest, you know, I always enjoyed working with Glenn, and I have absolutely no problem with him. I mean, you know, Glenn shows a different viewpoint of where the music should be going, a little more dark, a little slower, a little grindier. And, you know, I was always more of the guy that liked the catchy, you know, background songs with backgrounds. And actually, my little girl sings on track 13. She does background vocals, and she was 4. So if you can get a 4-year-old in the studio and put her on a Misfit record, I mean, you've accomplished something. You know? So the thing is that, I like the anthem kind of songs. I like, you know, Attitude. I like, Die Die My Darling. I like songs like that that people would hear and would really, you know, people would want to emulate. I mean, Glenn went forward and did Sam Hain and then Danzig, and, you know, it just seemed to be like, you know, more metal. I mean, not that we don't have a little bit of metal on our new record, but, you know, it wasn't the way I would have taken this band. You know, I think that this band, you know, is right where it should be today. I think our album came really well.